Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007. A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshipping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone, then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.'" So the Lord relented in punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will rise and go to my Father. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. I will rise and go to my Father. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. I will rise and go to my Father. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance, in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these I am the foremost, but for that reason I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, There will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son, who had been out in the field and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry when he refused to enter the house. His father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Thank you for joining us this week. Today we have the full team here. I'm Brian, and along with me are Dawn. Dawn, do you want to say hi?
Hello.
And Father Mark.
Hello, people of God.
And we're here today to discuss these readings that we just heard. And one of the things, the last part of the Gospel reading is the story that we call the Prodigal Son story. And there's been a lot of stuff written on this and a lot of commentary on it. And I know, Father Mark, you're familiar with a book by a very famous author by the name of Henry Nouwen on the Prodigal Son. Do you want to give us any insights from that particular book?
Sure. You know, usually Nouwen's books are just wonderful reads for us. He's a very spiritual man, or was, I should say. He died about 11 years ago, but he did write the one book, The Prodigal Son. And basically what he had done in the book is he actually went to the Rembrandt painting of it, which I believe was in a museum, I want to say in Russia. Mm-hmm. But it's his reflection as he sits there and kind of meditates on the painting of the Prodigal Son, the return of the Prodigal Son, I should say. And he, through the book, goes through the various people in that painting. So the son who has asked for his father's inheritance and then returns home, you see him in the painting. There's the image of the older brother, the older son, in the painting, who kind of stands there looking in kind of condemnation. And he talks about the older son, you know, reflecting upon him. And then he reflects upon some of the other characters that are in the painting that aren't necessarily in the book, or in the reading, I should say. But and then he ultimately reflects on the image of the father, you know. And it just wonderful description of the father in the painting of the hands that the embrace of the son when he comes home, and the sandals on the son's foot. It's just a lot of wonderful reflection. And, you know, it gives us kind of wonderful food for thought to see ourselves, you know. We've often been asked to do, you know, put yourself in the actual gospel pericope and reading itself, and see where you are in that that encounter, that experience of Christ. And so, you know, can we see ourselves as the prodigal son, the one who asks for, you know, money from our parents and then take it and squander it on something that really wasn't necessary to do? And then maybe what lesson have we learned from that, you know, or do we see ourselves kind of feeling, you know, like we wasted our resources in that? The looking at the older son who stands there and kind of condemns his younger brother who has left, and, you know, I'm the dutiful son and I've stayed here and you throw this party for my brother and I've been here all this time, you haven't done anything for me. And do we see ourselves kind of in that position at times too? And then Nouwen kind of really leads us to the end of the book of really looking at ourselves and saying, can we see ourselves on a journey to the Father, trying to become like the Father who is merciful and forgiving and loving and who runs to his son and is, you know, waiting for his son to come home? Do we see ourselves in the person of the Father? So it's just a wonderful book to read that gives some great and deep insight into, you know, maybe who some of these people are in this gospel reading, but also insight into who we are at various times in our lives.
Yeah, one of the things that hit me in what you were saying there, Mark, is the idea, a lot of times when we hear the story, especially the prodigal son, what we hear is, you know, that the father in the story is, of course, God, and then, you know, we find ourselves in one of the characters of one of the two sons. But what I think is really interesting with Nouwen's approach is the finding yourself in each of these characters, because there are times in our lives when we'll be in the situation of the person who needs to be offering forgiveness or welcoming somebody back into our lives who might have committed some sort of an offense against us. At the same time, there are also the times when we'll be the one who will be asking for forgiveness. And then there will also be the times when we watch somebody forgive somebody and say, well, wait a second, how come you're treating them so wonderfully when I've never done anything to you and I've always been here for you and, you know, you never slaughtered the fatted calf for me? So I think that that's an important thing, is that we really can see ourselves in each one of those characters there. Also, along with the other parables that are, of course, told in today's gospel too, what we kind of learn that I think is very touching is this sense that God actually is very different from us, in the sense that even those first two analogies that he uses, somebody who, you know, had 10 coins, loses one, and, you know, scours their whole house for it, or who has 99 sheep, leaves them behind to find the one. And the way Christ puts it, he says, you know, who wouldn't do that? But the reality is, most of us, if we had 99 sheep, would consider it irresponsible to leave the 99 just to go hunt the one, because something could happen to the other 99. And at the same time, I can tell you plenty of times that I've lost some change and I've never gone looking for, you know, the penny or two that I've lost, as long as I still have my, you know, dollar bills in my wallet. But what we learn with God is the importance of every individual in his community, that he seeks out every single one, that it's not enough for God to have, you know, 99% of the people in his grasp. He wants 100%. You know, it's not enough for God to have, you know, 9 disciples when he had 10. He wants that 10th disciple there. And I think that's a real powerful image. One of the lines that our professor at the seminary always says is, no matter how far you stray from God, you can't go so far away that God's not going to come looking for you. And I think that's a very powerful image as well, this knowing that God's always going to be coming back for us. So I think both of those are useful, the now one approach, but then also this, it gives us some insight into the personality, if you will, of God and how he treats us and how important we are to him and how excited he is to have us return to him.
And how does that make us feel? You know, and I kind of asked this question maybe to Dawn to say, you know, how does that make us feel as human beings, as children of God, when we might be that one sheep that God is coming after or that one coin that's lost, you know, to think of ourselves in terms of a God who will go to the ends of the earth just to look for me, you know, or just to help me come back to him, you know, and how does that make you feel when you think about something like that?
Well, first of all, this is a total setup. I had just been talking to Father Marco recently, or earlier in the conversation, about how one of the questions that I read in getting ready for this was, when I consider that God searches for me when I am lost, I think, ... And my immediate answer was, I'm not worth it, why bother? And so when I recognized that that was my answer, I thought, uh-oh, I better, you know, take a step back and figure out what is going on in my life that's causing this answer in me. And so, you know, if anybody else said that, if the kids I work with said that, I would have a bazillion reasons why. But for some reason, for me, none of those answers felt right. And so thanks, Father Mark, for bringing up my inadequacies.
You're welcome. Well,
but
I think it is important.
We have to
look at that. We have to look at that, you know, in terms of ourselves, you know, to at least, you know, and if we do come up with the answer of I'm not worth it, then it really should give us a kind of a pause in our life to really look at, you know, how important do I think I am in terms of my relationship with God, and how important do I think I am in just in general, you know, and do I see myself as someone who has value and purpose in this life, you know, that I am, even if I am one of those who have strayed, that I'm certainly worth being brought back into the fold, you know, because I think that like Brian was saying, you know, it's not good enough just to have 99. He's got to have 100.
Mm-hmm. I think we just lose sight of God's grace all the time because for me, a lot of times I think, oh, this is the millionth time I've fallen, and, you know, why bother coming after me for the millionth time and leaving all those people behind? But it is that unmerited grace that it's just so contrary. Nobody can really comprehend what it is because we don't see it anywhere else other than in the love of God.
I think, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about, Dawn, is, you know, we kid around with Dawn on Mondays because after a busy, busy weekend at the church, you know, sometimes we call Monday for her affirmation Monday. And yet this gospel is all about affirmation. I mean, it's about mercy and love and forgiveness and how God reconciles us. But it is affirmation to our lives to say, you know, no matter where you go and no matter what you've done, there is a God waiting for us to come back. And there's a God who searches us out no matter where we've gone.
Yeah. And I think that that's really an important, you know, insight from this. God is so different from us, and he's always here, always reaching out to us. And also the other thing here is it's not just God, it's also the whole of the church. I mean, one of the lines here is that, you know, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner. And so it's not just God who wants this, but it should be the entirety of the church. So it should be, all of us should be seeking out people, and inviting them back into the fold. Or if we ourselves find ourselves outside of the fold, should be asking for forgiveness and to return into the fold, because that really is, you know, what it is to be one body and this one body in Christ.
I think, Father Mark, you currently have, and Brian, in a short while, you'll have that awesome responsibility of being a minister of God's reconciliation, which we all are, but in the sacrament of reconciliation, I can't imagine what it must be like, first of all, but it's the opportunity you have is so awesome. Actually, I was talking with Father Dominic, who is an African extern from Kenya, and we were talking about formation and things like that, and I asked him, you know, the first time you hear a confession, that must be really scary, I would think, and he said, oh, yes, it's like a small hell. And so I know you can't talk about each experience or any experience, but overall, do you have any thoughts, Father Mark, on what it's like to be in that position?
It's a very humbling position to be in, you know, because you just never know who's going to walk through that door of the confessional and what they're going to be confessing, you know, what is really weighing them down in their lives. And, you know, it's been interesting to see tears flow and to hear the deepest, you know, feelings of people and, you know, being so brutally and, you know, totally honest about themselves and about their relationship with God and how they feel about, you know, how they've treated that relationship with God. It's just, it's a wonderful experience to have that sacramental moment with, you know, it is that one-on-one experience, and it's just, it's incredible. And it's really hard to describe in words, you know, but it is, one of the things that I would like to do in our confessional here at St. Michael's is to put up an image of the prodigal son, Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son, to put in there, because it's just really, that is the image of the way people are in the confessional. They're just coming back and wanting that embrace by God as they confess their sins and feel so maybe ashamed of themselves. But, you know, and in my role as priest, to help bring this, you know, this loving embrace of God into their lives and to remind them that they are certainly worth, you know, the reconciliation and love of God.
And I think on that note, we're going to have to end our podcast because I believe we're over time here. But we thank you for joining us and hope that you'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.